Welcome to The Score, Fantasy Basketball Podcast, where you get great advice on how to stay ahead of your competition here in these fantasy basketball streets. Now, the dopest analyst in fantasy basketball, Waiver Wire Queen.
Y'all, welcome to the Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Waiver Wire Queen. Today we are going to talk about the most improved players in the NBA during the 2021-2022 season. There are several players that have stepped their game up throughout the NBA season and as well as in fantasy basketball. All right, y'all. So today we are going to talk about 6 to 7 players that have taken their games to the next level. Some of these players we knew were going to take the next step. And other players, it was a huge shocker to most of us. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Let's talk about these players. So the first player on this list, and these players are not in any particular order. However, we'll at the end of the episode determine who should be the most improved player in the NBA. Miles Bridges, forward with the Charlotte Hornets, shocked everybody. I don't think anyone expected Miles Bridges to take the next step. The step that he took was simply amazing. Career highs throughout this NBA season for Miles Bridges, especially in fantasy basketball as well. In fantasy basketball, Miles Bridges was one of those players in leagues that you most likely picked up off of waivers at some point throughout the season because he was playing well for a particular time during the season. He may have been seeing an increase in minutes because let's be real, Miles Bridges wasn't the starter until this season. So being the full-time starter and having the opportunity to showcase his talent, he definitely did. He was in that gym working this past offseason, y'all. I'm telling you, because there's no way, Miles Bridges came up. Ain't no way Miles Bridges pulled off this amazing season without working on his game. Hard work pays off. So let's talk about his stats on the 2021-2022 season. He played 80 games, which is impressive. That was a career high for Miles Bridges as well. He averaged 20.2 points, which was a career high. He shot 49.1% from the field, 33.1% from threes, shot over 80% from the free throw line. He averaged 7 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 1.9 turnovers, which isn't bad because you got to think, he wasn't used to one playing a lot of minutes and having an expanded role. And with having more minutes and being one of the focal points of the Hornets offense, he obviously had the ball in his hands at times. So that's not bad. And he averaged 0.9 steals and 0.8 blocks per game. Again, impressive season. Did not see this coming. I did say at the beginning of the season that he should improve because during Melo's rookie season, those two had a really good rapport. The connection was undeniable. And when you have a dynamic point guard like LaMelo trying to get you the ball, especially in open court, it works well. Miles is super athletic. And so we got to see flashes of what those two can be last season. And obviously, they took the next step together this past season. Let's talk about his 2020-2021 stats. He played 66 games. He wasn't the starter to start the season. As the season went on, he seen an increase in minutes, which helped the Hornets make that ultimate decision that, hey, we're going to have to put him in a starting lineup. And that's what they did. They promoted him to the starting lineup, and they demoted PJ Washington to the bench. Okay, so he played 66 games. He averaged 12.7 points. Already you see there, that's almost 8 points. That's a huge step. 20.2, 12.7. So seven, a little over 7.5, almost 8 points, which is tremendous. That is exceptional right there. He shot 50.3% from the field. Field goal percentage this past season, slightly down, but 49% is extremely good. He shot 40%. 3-point percent, this past season went down almost 7 points, slightly below 7 points. And his free throw percentage was higher at 86.7%. But 80% is still very good, considering there are some bigs and some forwards. Hell, there are some guards in the league that can't shoot free throws. So 80% is very good. And he averaged 6 rebounds. So he increased his rebounding totals. He averaged 2.2 assists. This past season, he increased his assist totals, 1.6 turnovers, 0.7 rebounds, and 0.8 blocks. So when you look at 2021 versus 2020, you see that he took a huge step, which helped the Charlotte Hornets make the play-in tournament, and they were over 500. That is impressive because they have been struggling over the last few seasons to get to 500 and get and be above 500. They were over 500 with their record, which shows that they are taking strides and moving in the right direction. And Miles Bridges was definitely a part of that success this past season. Career stats: 13.4 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 47.3% from the field. Again, his career totals are obviously lower because he didn't have the opportunity to showcase his talent. He was always coming off the bench and his role was very limited. Well, when you compare his 2021 stats versus his career stats, you see the huge increase. You averaged 20 points per game during the 2021 season. For your career, you're averaging 13.4 points per game. That's going to obviously increase slightly. However, that is a huge step. That is a little over 6, almost 7 points. That is a huge increase. And one of the main reasons, obviously, that the Hornets were able to be competitive on most nights and be above 500. His rebounds increase, assists increase. His free throw percentage was still very good. And his field goal percentage, again, was higher than his career average, which is amazing. Which brings me to the play-in tournament. Stunk it up, although he did shoot 45% from the field. He only had 12 points and 4 rebounds. Obviously, for the Hornets, right now, when you're looking at who are the top dogs on that team, you obviously know it's LaMelo Ball. Then they got Scary Terry, and you have Miles Bridges. So those are the three guys who obviously make the Hornets go. As they go, the Hornets go. And when they're off, like Scary Terry and Miles Bridges were, and LaMelo, you're not going to win a game. They got blown out. It was, to me, an embarrassing loss. Miles Bridges, to me, wasn't aggressive. And it showed. He's averaging 20 points on the season. And he only had 12 points, which is lower than his career average. So, to me, that's not a good game. LaMelo only shot about 25, 26% from the field. And same for Scary Terry. So, you're going to lose. What I would love to see Miles Bridges work on is creating off the dribble. I watched a play-in game, and at times it just looked like he wasn't able to create, and it didn't look like he was 100% comfortable doing it. So I would love to see him improve that and work on that three-point percentage. If he can get to 37%, that will be a plus. And just keep working on your game. Let's talk about Jajonte Murray with the San Antonio Spurs. One of my favorites. One of my favorite young two-way players in the NBA. Can I say it again? One of my favorites. This young man is impressive. You know, this is not a shocker. Well, the stats in regards to his rebounding and his assists and his field goal percentage were slightly a shocker for me, but the fact that he played so well, I was not shocked because you always knew that it was there. Obviously, he had the season where he missed a lot of time due to the knee injury, and then last year came back, played well, but not as great. This season, you could tell that he really worked on his game during the offseason, and he had a hell of a season, and he is one of the main reasons the Spurs were able to make the play-in tournament. Because at the start of the season, when you look at the roster, you're like, definitely a lottery team. But when you have a young dynamic point guard who is a two-way player, you have a chance. And then obviously when you have Pop, you're going to exceed expectations every season, which the Spurs have done since they parted ways with Kawhi. Let's jump right into his stats. During the 2021-2022 season, he played 68 games. He missed the last games of the season due to an upper respiratory issue, which almost cost him an opportunity to play in the play-in tournament. He wasn't going to play, and then he ended up playing, which was good to get him out there. We'll talk more about the stats for the play-in game against the Pelicans. We'll talk about that. He averaged 21.1 points per game on the season, 46% from the field, 32.7% from threes, which is not good for a guard, in my opinion. He shot 79.4% from free throw line, which is good. That's fine. 8.3 rebounds, 9.2 assists, 2.6 turnovers, and 2 steals. Now, the 2.6 turnovers, to me, is not high because he has the ball in his hands an awful lot. So that's going to be a high usage rate. So 2.6 assists and 2.6 turnovers, and you're averaging 9.2 assists, and you have the ball in your hand pretty much all the time, creating for your teammates. The 2.6 turnovers is actually very good to me when you look at other guards who are averaging 4 and 5 turnovers a game, who have the ball in their hands just as much. So again, he's a two-way player, so the 2 steals per game is a plus. And can I say it? All-star this past season. First time NBA All-star, which he deserved. And again, an impressive season. He almost averaged a triple-double. If you drafted him in fantasy basketball, you didn't draft him early. So when you got him, maybe it was like the 3rd round, maybe 4th round, depending on the your league structure and how deep that league is. He was a steal in fantasy. He was a steal, and again, most people didn't expect him to have the season he had statistically in the NBA, and for us on the fantasy front. No one expected this. Now, I expected him to play very well, but he exceeded my expectations as well. Did he have the potential to damn near average a triple-double on the season? Hell yeah. He is tall, athletic, and a two-way player. So when you have all of those qualities and you are the point guard and the ball is in your hands a lot, you're going to have the opportunity to want to assist the ball. And he was always a good rebounder, so you're going to rebound the ball. And he was a solid scorer. You could tell that he worked on his game during the offseason because his field goal percentage increased, which is what we want to see. We want to see those stats increasing, which is a positive. Positive results. During the 2020-2021 season, he played 67 games, averaged 15.7 points per game. He shot 45.3% from the field. And again, when you think about those stats, the 2021 points per game versus the 15.7 points per game. So that is an increase right there. And then he slightly increased his field goal percentage this past season with 46.2% versus the previous season at 45.3%, which is simply amazing. Again, moving in the right direction. Started off his career, he looked like he wasn't going to be a great shooter. We all knew that three-point shooting was like, ooh, no. So that is something he has to work on. But he slightly increased that. And his three-point percentage for the 2020 season was 31.72 versus this past season at 32.7. I know you're looking like, well, that's not a huge increase, but it's an increase. So that shows you that he has been working on trying to improve his three-point percentage. Now we gotta get it up there. I need him to be at least 37%. And it's possible, I'll tell you. He has the opportunity to do so because when he shoots the ball, he looks really good shooting. He has a nice stroke. So I expect to see 37%. Hell, he may do that next season because, again, he's moving in the right direction. His trajectory is going up. He can do it again. What he did this past season, he can do again next year. He shot 79% from the free throw line, 7.1 rebounds, 5.4 assists, and 1.7 turnovers, and 1.5 steals per game. So again, his steals went up, his Reboundings and assist totals obviously went up as well. So he improved. When I'm looking at most improved players, I'm not looking for slight improvements. I'm looking for drastic improvements. And I'm looking at the impact you have on your team. He had a huge impact on the Spurs because I don't believe they would have made the play-in tournament if he didn't have the type of season he had this past year. And obviously, there were some other players who played very well. But without DeJounte Murray, the Spurs would have been a lottery team and close to dead last in the Western Conference. But you have DeJounte Murray and you have that great head coach, one of the greatest head coach of all time. You have a team that will overachieve, and they did, okay? Career stats, 12.5 points per game, 45.5% field goal percentage, 6 rebounds and 4.8 assists. So career highs, pretty much. Career highs across the board. So his points per game went up drastically versus his career average. And then you look at the rebounds and you look at the assists and you also look at the field goal percentage. So he's moving in the right direction, which tells me that they're not going to be trading him because he is their guy. He's their guy. He looks like he loves playing for the Spurs. I'm hoping that Pop will come back and they continue to build. They have some really good young players. They just need another guy at the level of DeJounte Murray, and they'll be right back in it. They will, because when you got Pop, who's going to come back, and then you have DeJounte, and then you have the young players who are really good, and you add another star to that team, you have a really good play-in to playoff team. During the play-in tournament, he didn't have a good game. Again, he had missed several games. He wasn't even going to play, so he didn't have one of his best games. Had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 26% from the field. He missed a lot of time. Again, wasn't even going to play, but he did. They lost, but this was a really good season for him. And being an all-star, improving statistically, becoming the leader of the Spurs is a good thing for him. It's only going to increase and excel his game. So I expect him to make some strides next season with his three-point field goal percentage. And I want to see, let's see if he can strive to get those assists up to 10. He simply can. It's a strong possibility. And let's see what else he's going to do for the upcoming 2022 season. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Let's talk about Jordan Poole. Honestly, I wasn't surprised by what Jordan Poole was able to do for the Golden State Warriors because you were able to see flashes during the 2020-2021 season. And he just took the next step because he had more of an opportunity. He was a good player. The Warriors are very good at identifying and scouting and drafting and bringing in very good players. And he is he is a very, very good player. Had a good season. Obviously, it was a career year. And he played very well while Klay was out. And he played very well when Klay returned. So they don't have, to me, it's not an issue because, you know, they're going to still say Klay is our guy. But the future is bright for the Warriors if, say, they were to at some point part ways with Klay. You have Jordan, who is very good and can slide in here. Obviously, he doesn't have the three-point shooting ability as Klay, but he's still a very good player. And he showed it this season. He averaged 18.5 points per game. He shot 44.8% from the field. He averaged 3.4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2.5 turnovers and 0.8 steals while shooting 36.4% from threes and 92.5% from free throws, which is very good. Now, the only improvements I really want to see is let's see him get his field goal percentage up a bit. I want to see it at least, I don't even want to just say 45 and above. Let me get you to, let's see if he can get to about 46, 47%. And there's nothing wrong with increasing that 3-point percent to 37-38. On the 2020-2021 season, he played 51 games, averaged 12 points, shot 43.2% from the field, 35% from threes, over 88% from the free throw line, which is good, But you can see that he made the improvement during this past season versus the previous season at 92.5 versus 88.2. So that's an increase. He averaged 1.8 rebounds, 1.9 assists, one turnover, and 0.5 steals. Again, he made strides. Opportunity is always key and is very important. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you're unable to showcase that talent because you're on a deep Warriors team and you're all the way at the end of the bench, no one's going to know if you have the talent. Opportunity came and he showed up, showed out, and now he is definitely in the mix going forward for the Warriors. He is a part of their future. So he is a part of the post-Clay, Draymond, and Steph era, in my opinion, along with those two talented rookies. So again, Warriors have nothing to worry about. Career stats, 13.7 points per game, 41.6% field goal percentage. He's increased that every season, obviously, right? So 43, then 44 versus his career average. So he has improved. Again, improvement is important. I need to see improvement in order for you to be on this most improved player list. And when I mean by improvements, again, I need huge improvements. I don't want to see, well, he averaged 12 points this past season. Now he's at 13. No, I want to see huge improvements and an impact on the game. He had an impact on the game, and he was a part of the Warriors having another successful season. You got to realize, when you have one of your top players out and you're asking another player, a younger player, to come in and fill that void, it can be stressful. It can be hard. Sometimes you don't live up to the hype. Well, he exceeded everyone's expectations and still played well after Clay returned. That tells me a lot about Jordan and his confidence. Confident because he knows he can play the game. And just because a player returns does not mean you still can't be successful. And he's still in the mix. They cannot take him out of the rotation. It'd be crazy if they do that. And I don't expect them to. Again, one of the candidates for most improved player of the year. He's actually leading the voting. He's actually the leader to win most improved player of the year. It's, to me, between him and Miles Bridges at this point. And that's simply what it is. Let's talk about Darius Garland, guard with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had a good season during the 2020 season, but no one expected the Cavs to take this huge leap like they did. They took some steps that was so unexpected. No one was able to see this. I didn't see it. I know you didn't. He had a great season this year in NBA and for us in fantasy. So if you drafted him, he really pushed your team to being a playoff team. And you also got to realize, you didn't draft him high. So where you got him at a spot in the draft, which was good value. He's another one of those players you probably looked at in the fourth or the fifth round. And he played very well. He exceeded your expectations. He's an all-star. The Cavs made the play-in tournament, and they are playing very well this season. And they played very well this season. During the 2021-2022 season, his stats were, he played 68 games, he averaged 21.7 points per game, shot 46.2% from the field, 38.3% from threes, 89.2% free throw percentage, which is very good. He's ice from the free throw line, so when the game is on the line, I know that there's a possibility that he's going to make those free throws. Now let's see if he can just handle the pressure. It's two things. You're a good free throw shooter, but can you handle the pressure? I believe he can. He averaged 3.3 rebounds, 8.6 assists, 3.6 turnovers, and 1.3 steals. So let's go back to DeJounte Murray versus Darius Garland when it comes to turnovers. You see with DeJounte, what was it like? 2.6, 2.7 turnovers. And then when you look at Garland, 3.6 turnovers. Again, both of these guys have the ball in their hands a lot. Usage rate is high as hell for both of these guys. But you see with DeJounte, those turnovers were slightly lower than Garland. But again, still really good players. In the 2020-2021 season, he played 54 games. He averaged 17.4 points per game. Shot 45% from the field, 39.5% from three. So his 3-point percentage is slightly down this past season, but still fine. because 38 is not bad, okay? That's not bad at all. He shot 84.8% from the free throw line, so he increased his free throw percentage by a little over 4.5, almost 5 points percentage, which is very, very good. He averaged 2.4 rebounds per game, 6.1 assists, 3 turnovers, and 1.2 steals. So you could see that the turnovers are slightly going up. However, it's because he has the ball in his hands a whole lot more, and he's doing more with the ball. But you see his other stats are increasing in the right direction, which is a positive. Rebounds increase, assists increase. So you have a player that's moving in the right direction, and you see great value. So for a fantasy basketball dynasty league, he's a player that you look at and you're like, okay, I want him as my guard. And that's simply what it is. But for the Cavs, again, when you exceed expectations like they did, and then you look at what Garland was able to do, and he's an all-star, you're like, okay, we have our guy at the point guard spot, which is why he is on this list. Not because his stats increased, because when you look at the stats, they increased, but not as much as the other two players mentioned, and the other three guys mentioned, in Poole, Murray, and Miles. But his impact on the game for the Cavs was tremendous, because again, we all expected the Cavs to be a lottery team again. At least I did, because they're always in the damn lottery, okay? But this time, they got it right with Mobley. They got it right with Garland. Career stats, 17.4 points per game, 44.3% from the field, 2.6 rebounds, and 6.3 assists. So he has improved statistically in every category, which is great. That's what we want to see. We want to see growth, which tells me that you're working on your game and you're moving in the right direction. You're moving forward. You're moving up. You're not declining. Because if you decline and your stats are going down and decreasing, then that means you don't have any value and we should not be drafting you in fantasy basketball. And then the Cavs, from an NBA standpoint, they won't be winning games and ultimately won't be a team to even make the play-in tournament, let alone the playoffs. I would love for him to increase. I would love to see his free throw attempts increase, because they're extremely low. He on the season per game, he's going to the free throw line less than 3 times per game. For someone who has the ball in his hands a lot, one of those young dynamic guards, get that up to 6, 5, 6. We'll take baby steps. So next season, let's see that increase to 5 or 6. Then he'll potentially be a 24, 25 points per game guy, which is great, which that's going to make him more valuable to the Cavs and more valuable to us from a fantasy standpoint. So that is what I would love to see him work on. I don't see him being this great defender, so I'm not even going to say that that's something that he should improve on, but he definitely can improve on free throw attempts per game. Let's talk about Desmond Bane. He was great. He was golden for us in fantasy this year, but Bane took a huge step. No one expected him to take a huge step like this. And most teams in fantasy were picking him up off of waivers. You didn't draft Bane, but you picked him up off of waivers once you realized, hey, this guy is having a hell of a season and he's going to help my team. He helped the Grizzlies. And again, he helped us in fantasy. On the 2021 season, he played 76 games. He averaged 18.2 points per game. He shot 46.1% from the field, 43.6% from threes, which is simply amazing, and over 90% from the free throw line, which is great. So you're at 46% from the field, almost 44% from threes, and you're shooting 90% from the free throw line. That's a player I want on my team because I know that he's efficient. Okay, and it's not just 10 points per game. He's averaging 18 points per game. So he is getting a lot of attempts, and he is efficient and he's making his shots. So that's a player that I want on my team. Chicago Bulls can holler at him, but no, the Grizzlies have a very good young player. And that's all I can say about him. 4.4 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.5 turnovers and 1.2 steals. Now, I'll say this. When Ja was out, Bane stepped up for the Grizzlies and for us from a fantasy standpoint, because the games that Ja didn't play, Bane at times became the lead guard and he played very, very well. So if you had him on your team in fantasy, especially during the playoffs, because Ja missed a lot of time, he helped your team tremendously. 2020 season, 68 games, 9.2 points per game. So that is a huge increase, which is why he is on this list. Not only because he increased all of his stats, but his impact on the game for the Grizzlies and for us from a fantasy standpoint were undeniable and tremendous. You go from 9.2 points to 18.2. That's a huge increase. What's that? 9 points? That's huge. Okay. 46.9% from the field. 43.23% from threes. 81.6% from the free throw line. So he increased those totals as well. 3.1 rebounds. 1.7 assists. Career stats. 14 points per game. 46.4% from the field. 43.5% from threes, 3.8 rebounds, and 2.3 assists. So when you look, career highs across the board, and his impact on the game from a fantasy standpoint was very good for us, and his impact for the Grizzlies was exceptional, because the Grizzlies went from a play-in team to a playoff team and the number two seed in the Western Conference. We all expected the Grizzlies to take the next step, but the step that they took about five or six steps. They took several steps. Yes, several steps. And he was one of the reasons why, because you do have to realize when Ja got hurt and didn't play most of the games leading up to the end of the season, they were in jeopardy of sliding back to that third spot. They held their own, and Bane was one of the reasons why. So he is on this list because he had a hell of a season and an impact on the game for his team. Tyrese Maxey, guard with the Philadelphia 76ers. We expected this. I don't know about you guys, but we all expected Maxey to take a huge step because the opportunity was going to be there, because Ben Simmons said he was not playing for the 76ers ever again. He said ever, and that ended up being true. So Maxey took the next step. We were able to see a small sample size of what he was able to do during the last postseason. He played very well at times, and this season, huge step. 2021 season, 75 games, 17.5 points per game, 48.5% from the field, 42.7% from the free throw line, 42.7% from threes, 86.8% from the free throw line, 3.2 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 1.2 turnovers, and 0.7 steals. So he had a very, very good season, a career year. It was a career year. And again, when you get the opportunity and you make the most of it, you have a career year, which is what Maxey did. Simply amazing. 2020 season, didn't play a lot of games, didn't have a large role. His role increased during the postseason for the Sixers. So he played 61 games, averaged 8 points. He shot 46.2% from the field. He shot only 30% from three. So that was a huge increase, because you go from 30 to 42. That's a huge increase. Okay. That's the kind of increase we want to see from. That's the kind of increase we want to see in regards to your 3-point percentage. That means he really worked on his game and he took advantage of the opportunities, and he was making those threes, because Embiid was probably getting double, triple teamed and kicking that ball out, and he was making his shots, which is important, because in fantasy, if you had him in a categories based league, he did not hurt your 3-point percentage. He helped, because if you had him last year, 30%, that's going to hurt your team in fantasy in the categories based league. But this year, tremendous increase, which is a positive results. That is what we want to see when we are talking about most improved players. Shot 87.1% from the free throw line. Slightly down this season, but still 86 is very good. And 87 the previous season was great as well. 1.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.7 turnovers, because he really didn't have a high usage rate, didn't have the ball in his hands a lot, so you wasn't expecting him to have a lot of turnovers. You weren't expecting him to average a lot of turnovers, and his turnovers are still not that bad because Embiid has the ball in his hands a lot, and now with Harden on the team, he has the ball in his hands a lot. They are a playoff team, which is great. I want him to improve on his defense. Really need to, because there's no reason why he shouldn't be averaging at least 1.5, almost 2 steals per game, or at least 1. Let's get it to 1 steal per game. He's getting close to there for an average-wise, but not quite there. Career stats, 13.2 points per game, 47.8 field goal percentage, 2.5 rebounds, and 3.2 assists per game. So, again, a very good season. His averages are very good for his career. And then this season, very, very good. Exceeds expectations. So, you'll see the same from Maxey next season. And he may improve. I don't see his scoring totals. I don't see his points per game going up anymore, because they'll hopefully have a full season of Harden. And you have Embiid and then Harris, so he's going to be number 4 in regards to offense. So his stats may go down slightly, so we'll just have to see how that goes. All right, y'all, so those are my players who should be in the running for Most Improved Player of the Year in the NBA, as well as in fantasy. If I had to select a player right now, it's going to be hard, because I really think it should go to Jordan Poole, but I also feel like what Miles Bridges has done is amazing. And if I had to say before the season who I would have put money on to perform like this statistically, it would have been Jordan Poole versus Miles Bridges. I'm just shocked at what he was able to do, because it was unexpected because of what we've seen so far throughout his NBA career versus what Jordan Poole was able to do. We knew that the talent was there, but with both guys, you can't go wrong. So right now, I'm going to say it's going to go to Jordan Poole, but if they were to give it to Miles Bridges, I would not be shocked, because again, what he did versus what Jordan did was simply amazing. And you're doing it on a team that hasn't been over 500 for what, like 4 or 5 years, I believe? And they were over 500. And he had a huge impact on the Hornets. But right now we're going to go with Jordan. But again, it can go to Miles Bridges easily. I honestly would prefer them to do a co-most improved player for both of these guys, because what they did was tremendous. And again, DeJounte Murray has a great argument for sliding in there as well for what he did with the team he had in the Western Conference, which is a tough conference. I'm sorry, it's a tough conference. And he exceeded expectations, and the Spurs exceeded expectations on a whole nother level. We expected the Hornets to be in the playoffs. The Warriors are a great team, so a player like Jordan Poole was a luxury player for them to have, and he played very well. But no one expected the Spurs to do what they did and even make the play-in tournament, and DeJounte Murray averaging almost a triple-double on the season and becoming an all-star. So it's going to be a hard choice. But again, I'm going to give the slight nod to Jordan Poole with Miles Bridges right there. All right, y'all, leave some comments and let me know who you have winning the 2021-2022 NBA Most Improved Player of the Year Award. Make sure you hit the like button and your notifications are turned on so you can see more of the Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Y'all have a great weekend. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to The Score for more fun and great advice on how to win at fantasy basketball. And if you've got comments or questions about the score, send them to waiverwirequeen@gmail.com. The Score.